Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to So You Want to Be in Ministry. I'm Tim, and here we are all about educating you if you're thinking about jumping into ministry, equipping you if you're already in, and encouraging you if you're ready to jump out, because it is just a frustrating, difficult, maybe disheartening season. We want to encourage you to stay in there, and we also want to empower you to follow godly leaders well. And so we are all about that. Today, our interview is with Chris Kish. He is the Minister of Discipleship and Connections at Family Church Downtown, and he actually leads the young adult ministry across all of their Family Church network. It's a really interesting thing. He also wrote this book, he wrote this book, Becoming the Household, which is a fantastic book on how they do their gospel communities, and he's going to talk more about that within our interview here. He's got a crazy, interesting history. He's got some interesting hobbies, but I'll let him talk more about that. Let's jump into this interview with Chris. Well, hey, Chris, welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you, man.
Hey, thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, we found out something really, really cool before we hit record here, and that's you're an Ohio State fan.
Yes, I am. I saw the thing behind your right shoulder, and yeah. I was like, wow, Ohio State. Yeah. And then you proceeded to show me everything in your house was Ohio State, and it filled my heart with joy and gladness.
We took a tour. It was so good. Yeah, I loved it. So we'll just start off proper here and make everyone in a certain state really upset with us. But OH.
IO.
All right. Come on. Yeah. Okay. Everybody's That's annoyed.
But no one can deny that we're the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Might as well root for a champion. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I think that I'm going to hear back about that comment right there. So
I mean, so will I. But yeah. We're no strangers to, you know, a bunch of lies from disgruntled fans from the state up north.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So ministry wise, you work with young adults. You're the young adult minister down at Family Church. You just came out with a book. I'm sure I've already talked about this in the pre-stuff, but Becoming the Household. I want to get into that. But before we get into all of that, I just want to hear, how did you even get to this place? Kind of give us the highlights. How did you get to this place of young adult minister down in Family Church?
Yeah, so it's a long story. I'll hit like some highlights of it. But previously, I was a pastor out in San Diego. I helped start and launch Sandy Feet Church. With a gentleman named Cameron Bernard, his wife Jane, Danny Fisher, his wife Claire. Like, we got together and launched this church. And the way that we launched it was through the model of gospel communities or missional communities. So I was trained in what that meant and how church isn't just a Sunday thing. It's what we're supposed to be living out, our identity, all week long. So when I finished my time in San Diego, because when I moved out there, I knew in the back of my head it wasn't going to be a forever place for me. And God closed that chapter of the book and eventually moved me to West Palm Beach, Florida to do their 2-year residency program, which, listening to past episodes, you had Dr. Mark Warnock on your podcast, and he leads that residency. He and I are great friends. I love doing stuff with him. And for those 2 years, learning from him in that residency setting, I'm still learning from him.
But, oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
just yeah. Like we all can learn from him for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. But you could sit down for 8 hours and be like, I feel like there's so much more.
I know. Keep talking, man. Yeah. I'm filling up the notepads.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I'm not blowing smoke when I say that. He's nope. Just wealth and knowledge. So sitting under his teaching and leadership for those 2 years of residency was great. So I moved down there for the residency. But when I moved down, Pastor Derek Simpson, he's the campus pastor for the downtown campus, oversees a lot of things for the network of Family Church. We were having breakfast one morning, and he said, "Hey, Chris, one of the things that we're lacking here at Family Church is a young adult ministry." So he gave me the names of 6 other people. He's like, "Go see if they would be interested in doing a young adult group." So had conversations with all of them, and we decided, yeah, let's try this. Let's just see what happens. So actually in this like dining room kitchen area of the house I'm in right now, about 2.5 years ago, the 7 of us gathered, and we had a big whiteboard, and we started brainstorming what would a young adult ministry in this context, in this demographic, in this area look like, because it's going to look a little different than San Diego, and it looks way different than what it did where I'm from in the cornfields of Ohio and to West Palm Beach. So it's like, what do people need? What can we give them that they're looking for in our area? And everything everyone was writing down and saying sounded like what I was trained in with gospel communities, missional communities in San Diego. So I introduced that idea to them and I said, hey, have you guys heard of missional communities or gospel communities? Have you heard of this before? And they said, no, like not at all. We have no idea. I'm like, all right, what would you think if we just met on our own for like 2 months and we practiced this missional community model? And then we started inviting people into this, but what if we just went through that little bit of training? And they're like, yeah, let's try it out. One person actually told me, they were like, I don't know if this is going to work. like a month into it, they were like, I'm just not really sure if it's going to take off. And I was like, just stick with it a little bit longer, trust the process. So we met on our own for about a month and a half to 2 months, figuring out the DNA of what we wanted to do. When we were confident in the structure of the night, each of us invited one person only to come. So that next week, after we decided to launch it, we had 14 people there. We did that for a couple of weeks. And then we said, hey, now you can start inviting people, bring them into what we're doing. Fast forward 2 years, we have just around, or 2.5 years, we have just around 400 young adults in our Rolodex, if you want to say that. And yeah, probably about 300 are active, like currently active in different things that we do. And then probably 50 or so are engaged in the deep discipleship DNA groups that we have. Okay. So that's how it started, and that's where we're currently at.
Yeah. So he's like, hey, all right, I'll use your church planning ability or, you know, experience. Like, let's see what you can do here.
Yeah. That's right. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You took it. It is. Yeah. You took it and ran with it. So talk to us about these gospel communities. It sounds like a small group. I'm just going to use the word that everybody's probably thinking at home. So if it is a little bit different, give us the nuance where it might be a little bit different, and then talk to us about what these gospel communities are.
Yeah, well, just, you know, by the book, page 27, tells you right there. No,
you're welcome.
Yeah, that's right. Podcast done. No. So small groups typically, they emerged after the whole Sunday school movement that happened for a long time, and some churches are still using it, and like Family Church still has like the Sunday school idea on Sunday mornings and different classes that are taught, and that's awesome. We need those. We need Bible studies. Yeah. Christians need the Word of God. It's profitable for all of life, right? So we need to have it. Then later though, like after that, like the big wave of Sunday school hit, then they were like, hey, let's kind of shift this over to more a small group idea, which was either discussing the sermon or finding a passage in scripture and talking about it, sharing prayer requests and praying. All good, and it all has its place, and like we need all of that. That's how relationships are formed and established and carried out. But the gospel community idea model is one that's focused around mission, where a group of people are coming together and saying, hey, we're committing together to live on mission to, it could be a lot of different things. It could be an area. It could be an affinity group. It could be a demographic of people. Like, where are we going to go and live on mission to? And when I was in California, we had a few. We had a missional community that was, or a gospel community that was just like a general, like a family focused one. We had one that was more in a Navy area. We were trying to reach out to Navy people. We eventually had a music one where they met during an open mic night at the little coffee shop. And Reached out to those people. We had one for young life or like wildlife kids, one for surfers that was connected to Christian surfers. So like that was more affinity groups. Like let's live on mission to that specific group of people. Here for young adults, it's a demographic. So we are committing together as young adults at Family Church to live on mission to other young adults. And we define young adults as post-college through 39.
Okay.
Which goes a little late, and that's later than what a lot of people do. But if you start doing like research in what is a young adult, and this whole idea of teens are the new 20s and 20s are the new 30s. I may have said that backwards. 30s are the new 20s and 20s are the new teens, like that kind of thing. People are, it's not that they're developing later, but they're prolonging things like marriage, family, buying their own home, things like that, that were normal even 15 years ago, 15, 20 years, and not that long, but culture like shifted so much that now people are pushing things back. So we have 35, 37, 38, 39 year olds in our group that they're a young adult. Yeah. Like they're still single, which is fine. And they just fit with the young adult demographic better than they would with just an adult group that meets on Sunday. Mm. So it's those people agreeing together that we are going to live outreach focused, gospel informed as we reach out to a community that desperately wants connection. And they maybe kind of think they know where to find it. And maybe they find it for a season, but that community leaves them feeling hollow or empty or dry. It didn't fulfill what they're looking for, because what people are looking for is the thing that only God can give us. Right.
Yep.
And Christians can share that because we know about the hole that we used to have that Jesus filled. So we can give that to the people that are looking for it. So that's it's a different approach. And we can get into, if you want, more of the details of how we structure the groups to fit that, where it's not just a Bible study, but it's so mission focused. And that's the big difference.
Yeah. I would say jump in, give us the application of that, because I would say there's two keywords that I heard there was outreach, like it's outward focus, it's not necessarily like, oh, you're part of Family Church, like plug into this group. It's like, you're not a part of anything. So you can find your community here, and the community is looking outwardly to find them. So when they show up, how do you structure a gathering, a gospel community? Is there a normal time? I'm guessing there's like a structured time for this. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So we currently, as it stands, have four young adult groups, all connected. We're the same, but we meet in homes. We don't meet at the church building. Mm-hmm. So we have one group that meets in one area on Monday nights. They're actually meeting in 10 minutes.
Okay.
But that's one group in one area, a little bit south. And then on Tuesday we have our three other groups that meet in different areas. Like if you want the areas, one that's meeting tonight is in Lake Worth. We have West Palm tomorrow, Gardens tomorrow, Village tomorrow. So it's location-based homes. Mm-hmm. And then if you're in that area, you're going to that young adult group. They go 2 hours, 6:30 to 8:30. Come in. Dinner is always provided. The host is cooking a full meal. So that's why, like, one of the things that I'll talk about is leader development and how to raise up leaders. Because when you have a ministry that's growing, especially with almost 400 people in it, how do you house and host well 400 people? Even how do you do that with 200 people, you know, across an area? Like, you need a lot of leaders. So just
to clarify something real quick, that because I'm thinking it, so I want to make sure other people, if they're thinking it. So do you have four groups? So do you have 100 people showing up at somebody's house?
Yeah. The last Tuesday of every month. Yes.
Okay.
Because we bring all four groups together.
Okay.
For what we call family night. Uh-huh. Because during the month, you just don't see all the other groups because you're going to yours.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is make sure everyone knows we're a part of a family-wide young adult ministry that's continuing to grow. And we'll get new people at all the groups every week. So let's bring them together. That's new this year. We didn't have that in 2023, and it's working so well.
Yeah.
And it's the one who hosts that is a family from our church who has a bigger space than one of us young adults with, you know, a townhouse or an apartment or something. They actually have a home on land that can house 100+ young adults for an evening. But the typical attendance, it varies between 10 to 15 all the way up to 50 in someone's house. Just different groups have different sizes of people that go to them. Mm-hmm. So they'll come in 6:30. We'll hang out until 7. We'll pray at 7 o'clock. Like, we'll introduce the evening. Hey guys, welcome to Family Church Young Adults. We're one of 4 groups that are meeting right now. And we repeat this over and over every week because language is important and repetition is important. Even if there's not a new person there, the people there need to still hear that this is important to continually repeat so that it's getting burned in their brains, so that then when they're called on to maybe lead, they've heard it a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Welcome to Family Church Young Adults. We're one group of 4. Our mission is to go and reach out to other young adults to bring them into a community that they can find friendship and free food with and whatever. And then we introduce the host, whoever's hosting. This is so-and-so's house. Let's give it up for them. And then we'll thank them. And then we turn it over to them. Hey, what do we have for dinner tonight? They'll walk us through the menu and the line order and all that. And then we'll eat. What we don't do is ladies first and then guys. We used to do that, but then it was like middle school segregation where the girls were finished by the time the guys got food. Yeah. So it's like, just go get some food. And then at 7:45, we bring them all together for the opening question. And that could be just something fun. That's how we do our attendance. We'll have people say their name and then answer a fun question. Like, if you were stuck on a desert island, what celebrity would you want to be with? Or what was your favorite TV show growing up on TV Land, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. What's your hot take that's not popular? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be fun. Yeah. And then after that, we'll go into our discussion time, which this is what sets us apart from just a small group. Yeah. Because we do what we call it is dinner and a question. So when we invite people into these groups, we're not inviting them to a Bible study. Mm-hmm. We're inviting them just to come get some food and have a conversation, but we call it dinner and a question. And we have questions like, how do you define success? What's your biggest fear? What's the importance of relationships? How do you deal with difficult people? Life questions that the gospel can speak to, because what we want to do is build every young adult to become fluent in the gospel. So gospel fluency is a big deal. And down here in Florida, there's so many different cultures and languages that some of them are fluent in other languages. They're fluent in Spanish as a first language, and they're also fluent in English, or vice versa. And what we want people to understand, and I learned this in San Diego from Pastor Cameron, is how do we become fluent in speaking the gospel into all areas of life? Because Hebrews 4:15 is one of our anchor theme verses for our entire young adult ministry. And it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect or every way has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus, he understands our weaknesses, and he's been tempted in all the ways that we've been tempted, but he overcame those, and he showed that it was possible through the power of the Spirit at work within him. And also, he's God, so he can't sin, but still, like, he was leaning heavy on, he was actually tempted, and he actually had to fight the temptation and flee temptation so that he didn't give into it, and he did it perfectly. So we have a model of God who can relate to us and what we're going through. And if we can tie the question into Jesus and bring Jesus into the question that we're talking about and have people leave knowing Jesus understands, here's the hope of the gospel, here's the freedom through the cross and the resurrection, and Jesus gives it, then we've done our job. Because we want to be, my friend Bryce said this on the first night we met in this dining room as we launched it. He said, we want to be a Bible doing, not a Bible study. Because
I loved that quote in the book, by the way.
It's so good, right? Yeah, Thank you, Bryce. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Because we need Bible studies, and we need the Sunday school model of getting equipped with the Word of God. Like, that's how I became fluent in speaking the gospel, and I'm still growing in it, but it comes through reading the Bible. You don't just pick it up somewhere doing something else. Yeah. Like, we have to be rooted in Scripture, rooted and grounded in love, like Ephesians says, rooted and grounded in Jesus, so that we can actually do what he told us to do, which wasn't have a bunch of Bible studies.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do, what he told us to do, which is go into all the world and now live out what you've learned. And it's working, and it's working quick.
It really does sound like, so when I, this would have been way back when I was a youngin, like super, super young, but my dad would go door to door to people's houses and stuff, but you've almost like reversed it where you've set it up where they're willing to come to your house to have a gospel conversation.
Yeah.
Do people feel like they got a bait and switch? Do they understand what they're walking into? How does the invitation happen? Like when your people are going out and being missional, how does that invitation happen? Like, what are they saying is happening at this place that they're like, all right, I'll check it out. Like, I mean, I want free food, but sure, I'll deal with the rest of the stuff too. How does that happen?
Right. When we first started, like I mentioned already, language is important. And repetition is important. So when we first started it, people were inviting others to a Bible study.
Okay.
And what happened was they were bringing their Bibles to it. The ones who wanted, that were like Christians, were coming in that vein. And then other people just weren't coming. Because like I talk about in the book, we live in a postmodern, but now we live in a post-Christian society where people are afraid to come to church for a myriad of reasons. Or they just don't want to, or they just literally don't know because their parents didn't and their parents didn't. They grew up in a totally irreligious home to no fault of their own. That's just the way the culture has shifted. So when they hear Bible study, they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, that sounds weird and scary and I don't want to go. Or it sounds good and they come and they bring their Bible and then they realize that not even the leader is using a Bible because what I tell the leaders is you're not allowed to bring your Bible to our gospel communities. Like, read it, get familiar with it, become fluent in speaking it. Because what we want to do is when people walk in is have this environment that's super inviting so that it's not this bait and switch thing where it's, hey, come to our dinner and a question. And now all of a sudden there's a lot of people with Bibles open. It's like, oh, this is a Bible study. Well, no, it's not. They just brought their Bible. That's why, like, it takes a while to build culture and what we're trying to do. Because the last thing I'll say on that is, at Family Church, we're unapologetically Christian on Sunday mornings. Like, we teach the Word. We go through the hard things in Scripture. Like, we don't hold anything back. We explain it in a very clear way so that if you are a guest, you can understand it. But we don't sugarcoat anything. We're building up the saints for the work of ministry and equipping them and encouraging them with the Word of God every Sunday. We have the other 6.5 days of the week. That's not for us, but it's for everyone else. Sunday morning, that's for us. That's for us to get ready and get equipped to go live on mission. The rest of the week is about everyone else. How do we live on mission so that people can come in and experience the love of Jesus and be introduced to the gospel? So when they come into our gospel communities, they're seeing friendships, they're getting food, and it's good food, and they're getting real conversation about what they're going through because our young adults are the ones who write in the questions. And then we'll answer it. All four groups answer the same question every week. Okay. And then we'll tie it in however they want to bring the gospel into it, whatever the leader is leading that night, that's on them. They can share the gospel tie in how they feel led to do it, but the question is the same.
So the how do you deal with conflict? So somebody might be like, I try to avoid it. Like I literally, if I know conflict's coming, like I will just not show up, or I'll avoid, or I'll just quit my job and I just won't go back. And all that stuff. How would one of your leaders take that and run to the, well, they're going to have their version of it, but give us just a quick preview of how they might use that opportunity to be gospel fluent.
Yeah. You mean, conflict in general, or conflict, like if there's a discrepancy in the question?
Or like, so that was my answer. Like, I'm a person in the group and I just said, I try to avoid it at all costs. I literally don't want to even be around it. Like, I grew up in a house where conflict was all the time and I couldn't wait to leave, and I just don't want that anymore. I'm out. Like, that's my response to that question.
Okay. Yeah. So like how I would respond to that, or hopefully how a leader would in the gospel fluent way, is like, hey man, I'm sorry that the conflict around you is so heavy that it's causing you to like not even want to deal with it. But hey, let me just encourage you that Jesus, the God, the Son, knows what conflict is like, even in the home. Like, his own brother didn't believe what he was saying. So he maybe felt rejected or pushed down, not believed, not felt like he was valued by even people in his own family. And then you go outside to the ministry that he's doing and the work that he's doing, like there is conflict. There is back and forth. Jesus said before to his disciples, like, how much longer do I have to put up with you? Like, when are you going to get this? Like, was there argument back and forth? Obviously not in a sinful way from Jesus' side, but like still like heated conversation. Jesus had to navigate that. And he went through conflict. So you're not the only one. God the Son understands what conflict is like. Even internal conflict, Father, let this cup pass from me. Like, if there's another way in your holiness and the way you set everything up, if there's something that you haven't told me yet, can you come up with a different plan? So like there's even inner conflict. It's like, I know what I need to do, but this is going to be really hard. So God understands. But he still did what the Father told him to do. He did the hard thing. He had the hard conversations. He made the tough decisions. He followed the Father perfectly all the way up to death. And later, like it says in Philippians, God has raised him up and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And like, he is now honored and glorified the way that he should be and that he deserves. So he fought through that all the way to the point of victory. And if he can do it, and he has the same Holy Spirit that you have, then you can do it too. And you can also engage in conflict because you know the outcome.
Yeah. Well,
so we've never had that question before. Like the conflict question, like the way you worded it.
Yeah.
And like, it's good. But like, if we can get people thinking in that fluent way of like, how does Jesus relate to what you just brought up? Then we're giving people like tangible things they can actually speak to themselves. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that helps.
Oh yeah. That was a great example. Like I would say that helped me completely understand what would happen in a context like that. So hopefully that's other people are understanding that too. What are some, so obviously gospel fluency that translate to other communities. If there's any concern where it's like, yeah, you're in West Palm Beach, though, man, like in San Diego, I don't live on a coast, I don't live in a big city. What are some other things that would translate to pretty much any community across the globe even?
Yeah, you have to know your area that you're in and what would work in that area. So one of the things that we did at Family Church intentionally was we never announced our young adult ministry from the platform. Mm-hmm. It was always word of mouth. When we first started it, Pastor Derek was like, it's like this underground fight club thing. Like, you got to know when they're meeting and where. And like, it's just, you know, under the radar type of thing. Cause we just didn't announce it. And the reason we didn't do that is because we live in such a highly populated area that and our church is so big that if we announced it on day one, we'd have this massive influx of people. And how do you disciple them? Like, how do you actually care for them? Like you can't. At that point, it would just be inviting everyone to a big event, and like you just, that's not what we're trying to do. So for other people in different areas, you have to know what kind of church you're in. If you made an announcement about a young adult ministry, like if you were about to start one, is that something that if you just promoted it right away, you'd get this massive influx of people? But now what do you do with all of them? How do you disciple them? Where do you put them? That kind of thing. If that's your church, then I would challenge you, encourage you to take it slow, to build it, get a leadership base that can handle it, and then slowly invite people. But if you're in a smaller church, like where I'm from in Cornfield, Ohio, like announce it from the platform. You probably maybe have 8 young adults in that age that I gave, maybe 15, maybe 20, and you could handle it. As long as you have a few solid leaders that are committed to it. So that's one thing, is you need to know your area and then cater what you're doing to that demographic or whatever's going on in the life of your church. But 3 things that translate across all of the world. I'm going to go as broad as that. All right. Is people are looking for truth, especially now, mm-hmm. with the way the culture has gone and being lied to from every direction. People are sick of it, and they're finally seeing it, and they want someone to just tell them what's true. Mm-hmm. Example, we've been doing an apologetic series on Sundays at Family Church and on Thursday nights, because we started a Thursday night church. So all of our services are going through an apologetic series. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the sanctity of human life. We talked about abortion, and we were very bold with what we said. We are a pro-life church. We are very clear about how life matters from womb to tomb and everything in between. And there's a girl who's in our young adult ministry, not a Christian yet. I was like, hey, what'd you think of the service today? Because like pro-choice, pro-life, like that's pretty hot. That's a hot topic. And she said, I'm so glad that someone just said it like it is.
Yep.
She's like, not that I even fully agree with it, but at least someone just said it. Like they weren't wishy-washy with anything. They just said what they were. So I told that to, Pastor Jimmy Scroggins during a preaching meeting. I gave him that feedback and he agreed. He sees the same thing. It's like, yeah, people today just want truth. Even if they don't agree with it, tell them what you believe. Be firm in a stance, and we can plant ourselves into the Word of God.
I've had a few interactions with that. I'll just back that up, because I'm in the cornfields of Illinois, and I have interactions with all kinds of lifestyles and all kinds of different things that would definitely disagree with me. And that's how I start the conversation a lot of times when they know who I am and I have an idea of what's going on. I'll just be like, hey, yeah, this is where we stand. Like, because they'll ask me, like, well, if I come to your church, where do you guys land on whatever topic? I'll just be like, mm-hmm. well, this is where we stand according to God's word. But I want you to know, like, you don't have to agree with it. You're very welcome to attend. Like, you don't have to agree with us. Come check it out. Like, we'd love to have you. So that's been a very interesting interaction, because I've seen that play out with us too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's all over.
Yep.
Yeah. The other thing is connection. People just want connection. They want to connect to something. And that's not even necessarily a people-to-people connection. It could just, I want to belong to something. I want to be connected to something else that's good, that's life-giving, that fits my vibe, or whatever they're thinking.
Yeah.
Fits my aura. I've heard a lot of things. But they just want to connect to something. Even if they don't fully agree with it, they want to be connected to something. So they're looking for connection. And then beyond that, the third one is all over the place. People want relationships. After they've connected, they want to be able to call someone and count on someone and have a friend, have a best friend, have a group of friends that they just do things with. And I was praying last night while I was driving the car, and I was like, God, I am just so thankful and blown away by the community that you've given me. Like, I've just been blessed with it. Even at my little church in Ohio, my best friends still, I met there, great community. College, still in touch with those people, great community. California, and now here, it's like there's so many people that I can call, and it's like, I'm so joy filled about that. But then at the same time, my heart's like, there's so many people who don't know what that's like. They don't have a whole phone full of people that they could call about things. And I want them to have it. And that's what I want all the young adult leaders to understand is like, let's go. We always say at Family Church, let's go. We've been in the church in here. Now let's go meet the church out there. So Family Church, young adult leaders and everyone, let's go be the church out there and let people know that they can come into something where they will hear the truth. They'll get connected and then relationships will form. And you don't need a big church. All you need are a couple people who are faithful to the word of God and love Jesus, and you can do it. Because this is so helpful too, because Family Church is huge. This is helpful for us to talk about success in this way, because we didn't announce it, like I said, from the platform. We still don't have an Instagram. We have no social media presence. We didn't have flyers we sent out. We didn't go canvas and knock on doors and say, come to young adults. Seven of us just met faithfully as a leadership team, invited in one person each, like I said, that we thought would be a good fit. And then we released them. People just started inviting people. And now it's like, we just need more leaders, you know, because there's so many people. So many people are coming to Jesus right now, yeah. More than I've ever seen in my life. People are putting their faith in Christ. And we're right on the front lines of it. And it's amazing. And you don't need a big church to do it. Just start where you're at and be faithful with what God's given you. Pray like crazy. And God loves his holiness and he loves people. And since he loves both of those things, he'll make sure people come to him. He just wants us to be faithful to do it.
So the pastor that's out there, maybe the young adult pastor, maybe a student pastor that's out there, maybe it's just a volunteer at a church that's hearing all this and they're like, man, I can do this in my church. Like, pastor, can I just do? So if that's them and you're pricking their heart to say, I can do this. Like, this is so simple. I can get this. I can cook a meal and have a conversation about the gospel. Like, I can do this.
Yeah.
What would you encourage them if they're starting it? What are like the 2 to 3 steps they need to take to make sure that they're building a foundation they can actually build on?
Yeah, great question. You need other people to do it with. Okay. Maybe you could do it all by yourself, but man, I'm telling you, having a leadership team is so crucial for helping make decisions and understand like the health of the group. So get a couple people that would share a passion with you for this ministry. And then pray together, brainstorm together, talk about your area. What's the demographic you're going after? You could do gospel communities with any age. It doesn't have to be young adults, but decide what you want to do. I know this conversation has been young adult focused, so we'll keep it in that vein.
Okay.
Where are the young adults at? Where are they hanging out? How are you going to reach out to them? And what are they looking for? Do they already have great community because the place you live in just breeds good community and connection? Now we just need to go deeper. Like, ask those types of questions with a couple of people that can speak into it. When you decide what to do, practice how to do it with just your leadership team. That's so key. You can't rush this.
Yeah. You guys did it for like 3 months, right? You said somewhere around.
We did like a month and a half to two that we just met on our own without inviting people in. Because if you invite someone into it and you're not totally sure of what you're doing or like the phrasing of things, then it's going to be like, what did I just walk into?
Yeah.
But if you understand and your leadership team understands, this is what we're doing. This is how we're laying it out. This is the verbiage we're going to use. This is our mission, our vision, our values. All that should be laid out first, I think. And then you can start inviting people in. So that's number one. just understanding the area that you're in and getting leaders that can speak into it. And then be faithful in your own holiness. Spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, guard your heart, continue to move when God moves, stop when God is telling you to stop, move at God's pace, just be in step with the Holy Spirit. And man, like, it's ministry, you know, like, have fun. Like, ministry is so much fun. It's exhausting. But man, when you see someone give their life to Jesus, it's great. We had a girl that was going to our Monday night group that's currently meeting for like 3 months, terrified to come to church. But she went to the young adult group. She got saved last Thursday at our Thursday service.
Awesome.
Like, that's awesome. That's one example from multiple, praise God. But like, ministry's fun. So find some people that are passionate about it. Start with what you have. Be faithful with what God gives you. And just, I don't want to sound like Nike, but just do it. like, you got to start. You got to start sometime.
Yeah. Be a doer. Like, that, it's very much, we're commanded in Scripture to be a doer of the Word. So,
yeah, that's right.
So, off of this, there may be ministry people out there that are just in a season where they're incredibly discouraged. It is rough. It is hard. It is difficult. I would say if you're in ministry for any length of time, you're going to face a season like that to some level. For the person that's out there and they're hearing it and they're maybe even excited for you walking through that, but they're like, I just don't see that that's going to happen with me. I'm discouraged. I think this is just, I'm done. What encouragement do you have for them?
Man, God wants to use you. The good news, the kingdom good news, is that God doesn't need any of us and the kingdom of God is not in trouble. But in spite of that, God still wants to use you. And he's given you spiritual gifts and blessings and talents and passions that he hasn't given to others, that he tailored for you. And whether he's given you a lot or a little, be faithful with the little. And man, Matthew 25, don't bury the little bit that you have because you think it's not going to work or it's not going to be as big as you want or as deep as you want. If he gave you one thing, start trying to multiply the one thing and be faithful with the one thing, because God wants to bless the work of ministry. And you're on the front line of it, and be faithful to do it. He's not done with you. And honestly, I think encouragement sets back in when we have a healthy view of the holiness and awe of God. Because we really understand the goodness of God and his kindness. Like, we're going to want to serve him. Even in the middle of seasons that are tough. And even in our young adult ministry right now, there's a couple leaders that are discouraged. Like, they're meeting weekly and their attendance is smaller than one of our other locations. Mm-hmm. What they actually need to know is like the 10 to 12 is like the perfect size and the 50 is actually way too big to have in your home.
Yeah.
So I keep trying to tell them that. But when you do the comparison thing, like if someone's listening right now thinking like, well, man, you had a big church. Now you're up to 400 or so young adults and you have a huge leadership team, whatever. It's like, well, we didn't before. And there's still a lot of work to be done. 400 young adults in a place where there's millions of people, there's a lot of work to be done. And we could always look at something else and compare and say, ah, man, I'm not there. I'm discouraged. I'm just going to throw in the towel and quit. But God's saying like, man, be faithful with what I've given you and find joy in doing it. Like, this is fun to watch people's lives be changed. Even if it's one person, it was worth it. Because that's one person that spent an eternity with Jesus now and gets to walk with him now. So to summarize that part, just having an understanding of the holiness of God and the great mission that he's called you to. He doesn't need you, but he wants you. it's like, it's so good. Can I share one example?
Oh, yeah, man. Go for it.
Okay. So I actually heard this from my buddy, John, one of my best friends. He's like, we were talking about how God doesn't need us, but he wants us. And the example is like my dad, I'll make it personal for me. He was great. He is great at woodworking, and we built shelves together and we do landscaping and all this stuff. My dad's a very capable, strong man. And I was like, 6 years old, and he's like, hey, Christopher, can you get me that hammer? Or can you go down to the basement and get me a Phillips screwdriver? Or could you hammer in this nail for me, whatever? He didn't need me to do that. The man could have built the shelf on his own, right?
Yeah.
But by him asking me, hey, Chris, can you grab this for me? Can you hold this piece of wood steady while I cut it in half, whatever? It made me feel like, and I actually was a part of what my dad was doing, and I was a part of the finished product. It's like, wow, my dad and I did that together because he chose me to help him with it. And God chooses us, everyone listening, and everyone not listening. He chooses all of us to be a part of his family and then give us a job to do an eternal kingdom work. And it's like, man, you matter. And what God's given you matters to the kingdom, and you are valuable. And I think when people hear that, man, Pastor Jimmy always says you'll never meet an overly encouraged person. So if you're a pastor, like, encourage your staff, encourage the people at your church, encourage the lay people, the members, that what they're doing matters, that you see what they're doing. God is not unjust. He will not forget the work that you have done and continue to do by serving the saints. That's in Hebrews. Powerful verse. I I could talk about that for a while, but I'll digress here. But that's how I would summarize that.
Yeah, man. Chris, I would tell you this, that this conversation for me has been life-giving. So I appreciate you even on the encouragement side of that and properly placing things. I think you've had a unique way in this conversation to put things in proper perspective, just stay focused on the stuff that you need to be focused on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, holiness of God, that's the top thing. Everything we do is for the glory of our Savior. So we have to keep it all in that perspective. We're not doing this for us.
Well, tell us where you can find Becoming the Household if you want to read it for yourself. It's a quick read. It's very simple. It's a very quick read. It will not take long. If you just want more of the details and more of the fleshing out of it, where can they find that to get that?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. That's the only place it's on, to my knowledge. So if you just go to Amazon and type in Becoming the Household or my full name, Christopher Kish, it'll populate and you can get a copy of it.
If somebody wants to just ask more of a pointed question, is there a place they can find you to just go, hey, we're thinking about trying this, we ran into this situation or conflict or question, can you help us with this? Is there a place they can find you to ask you those type of things?
Yeah, 100%. And I welcome that as well. One of my desires is to help churches with this, mm-hmm. is to help form gospel communities. So C-Kish, K-I-S-H, ckish@gofamilychurch.org. And that email is also in the book, but yeah, they could just write that down and email me from there. And I'd love to talk to them and encourage them and even go out to their church if they wanted some training on how to do it. I love doing that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think we might take you up on that. So
great.
I'm going to get this to our young adult pastor and we'll see where it goes from there. So
all for Jesus.
Cool, man. Well, I so appreciate you being on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Tim. I appreciate it. It was a great time.
Well, thank you so much for being here for this interview. I am glad that you stuck around and checked it out and were a part of this. Thank you so much for engaging and being a part of listening or watching it. If you would like, subscribe, jump in, be ready for those downloads, be a part of the social media and engage. It really does help out the channel. It helps get the word out there. And thank you so much for being a part of all of that. It has been very exciting to see what God's been able to do through these different episodes over the past couple of years, and I look forward to what he's going to do in the future, and I hope to see you there to be a part of it. See you next time.